No guards, no masters, only helpful advice.
It's Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union Representative Justine Sachs.
Morena, Justine, how are you?
Morena, I'm good. How are you, Rachel?
Good. It's awesome to hear from you. And thank you so much for coming back and doing some Red Dead Redemption with us.
Absolutely. My pleasure. Loving the introduction.
Jazzy intro. We like a jazzy intro at BFM. Hey, we've had heaps of questions rolling through since we spoke to you last week. And we're going to just jump straight into them, I guess.
Yeah.
We've had a lot of conversation about wage subsidy inquiries and a lot of people asking about what it means for casual staff and contractors. One that came through from a lot of people was, are casual staff and contractors covered by the wage subsidies? It's as basic as that. Are they covered?
So that's a really good question. So let me answer, it's kind of different. The short answer is yes for both of them, like absolutely 100%. And the kind of long answer is that casual is like kind of a weird label, and it doesn't really exist in the law. It's very rarely that someone's a real casual, and mm-hmm. to be a real casual, it would mean that you would have no pattern of working. So like one week you'd work, say, 10 hours, and the next week you'd work 40.
Mm-hmm.
I'd say for most casuals, they'll have a regular pattern of you know, work hours.
Right.
So which means that they are able to access the wage subsidy based on that pattern of work hours. So say you regularly work 10 hours a week, that's a part-time employment, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So you should be able to access the part-time wage subsidy based on that. If you have like no patterns of employment, if you really are a true casual, then you actually wouldn't qualify for the wage subsidy. But I would bet that like a vast majority of people who are technically classified as casual in their contracts are not actually casual in the sense that they have regular work patterns.
Right. Yes, that does seem to be, I think, a pattern of how casual work works out in New Zealand as well. So what about contractors? Are they covered by this?
Yeah, contractors are, and I know, just personally, I know some contractors who have applied for it and gotten it quite relatively easily.
Mm-hmm.
So that really shouldn't be a problem. If it is, I'd love to hear about it because I haven't heard of that being an issue. It's more the casual employees are, you know, having more issues, yeah.
I'm also interested, a lot of people have been asking us who should be applying for the wage subsidy. So casual and contractors and even just part-time and full-time workers. Is it the employee or the employer who should be contacting WINS about the subsidy?
Yeah, that's another good question. So the onus is on the employer. And I, as far as I'm aware, it's like a really, really, really easy process. So it's literally the only thing they have to do. Then the money just comes straight through.
What would you recommend to people whose employers are maybe dragging their feet on that, or who they're sort of struggling to have that conversation with their employer?
It really, you know, like really stuns me that this is a problem because, as I said, it's like such an easy process. Mm. There's no skin on the back of the employer. They don't, it's not them. They're not losing anything. It's literally just money from the government to employees. But I would put the pressure on. To be honest, like you don't really have, as I said, they're not losing anything. There's mm-hmm. no reason why they shouldn't be doing this. And get in contact with your union rep, as I said, come together with your co-workers and collectively mm-hmm. ask your employer why they're not doing that. And honestly, and I talked to you guys last week about the together.org.nz where you can file sort of issues that you're mm-hmm. having for us to investigate at a later stage. That's the by the Council of Trade Unions, our affiliate, like the affiliate for the unions, most unions in New Zealand. So
mm-hmm.
I would also go there, but look, if it were me, if I were in that situation, I would blast them on social media. That's just how I roll, because I'd be like at this point, what do I have to lose? I'd just be so it's really infuriating to me hearing these stories about employers who can't even be bothered to mm-hmm. just apply for it and pass it on, you know.
We've had some other questions in around wage subsidy. Somebody's asked, I'm told by my manager that they can't apply for us casuals as the subsidy's only for small businesses. Is this correct, and how should I be challenging them?
No, that's just completely factually incorrect. It's as long as you can demonstrate that you've had a 30% reduction in income as a business. So it's not to do with the size of the business. And it's not to do with what type of employees they have. It's just to do with whether they've been impacted by COVID-19. So I would then assume maybe that they haven't had a reduction. I mean, yeah, it's difficult to say because some people have, some businesses in essential services are actually booming, right? So how would I go about challenging it? I would just come at them with the facts. I would say, look, I've actually done some research. I know that this is the case. I cannot apply for it. You need to apply for it. If you haven't had a reduction, then I should be working my normal hours from home or an alternative arrangement, and I should be paid normally, Because that is what is your right at this stage.
So we've had another question around reduced pay, reduced hours. We've actually had a few questions around this. My work is paying me the wage subsidy but can't afford to top it up to my usual pay at the moment. Am I still expected to work my normal hours?
Okay, so that's a bit of a tricky one. Basically, if employers aren't able to top it up, you're still expected to work normally. But my question would be that if you're working...
Mm-hmm.
Are they still getting income? In which case they should be topping it up, and why aren't they? So that would be something I would be looking into, and that would again be something I would definitely contact my union about, because that's something that we need a little bit of transparency in these situations, especially when businesses are getting government assistance to pay wages. Why aren't they able, if you're still working, is the business not still making a profit, and why isn't that profit being passed on, I guess, is the question. Because most people who are getting the wage subsidy aren't able to work at the moment, or they have to work reduced hours. So my question is, why are you working the same hours and getting paid less?
So a similar question that's come through is, I've been asked to take a voluntary and temporary pay decrease to reduce redundancies. How does this affect my hours, and what should I be asking my boss?
So this one, I would say, if you've agreed to take a pay decrease to reduce redundancies due to, obviously the business having less of an income, that wouldn't affect your hours. What would affect your hours is if there's less work to do. Because you've agreed, you and your employer have come to an agreement. So, I mean, that's a contract that you've come to, an employment agreement. So that has, your hours should be in that new agreement. So I guess while you're negotiating a pay decrease, you need to discuss with your employer about your hours. It wouldn't be a pay decrease if you're working less hours. You see, that would just be sort of retaining the same level of pay. So either you're reducing your pay or reducing your hours but still being paid the same. I'm not sure if this is making sense.
No, it does make sense.
A little bit of a tricky one. But so it wouldn't necessarily reduce your hours, but that would be a different conversation. So if you would instead want to reduce your hours but retain your pay rate, that's another conversation you can have with your boss and your employer, and they might, that might also help them not have to make people redundant, I guess.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, we've got a question about students now, and I've actually noticed this quite a lot on Twitter too, but somebody said that they've noticed that with their courses moving online, some lecturers are taking the opportunity to increase lecture length and workload, and this is, I guess, should be noted that is not across the board, it just seems to be some specific and certain examples. Obviously students are under a lot of pressure, like everybody at the moment, and adjusting to this whole new way of the world. What should they be doing? Who should they be talking to if they're feeling like this is unfair, or they're feeling like their mental health is coming under sufferance from this? What should they be doing about this, Justine?
Well, firstly, I would just like to validate these students in that it's incredibly unfair. You're not working from home in great environment. You're trying to work in the middle of a global pandemic, so no lecturer should be doing this. I'm shocked to hear that's an issue. But anyways, academics are strange. There's a couple of things I would do. So I would explore all avenues. Because I'd want this lecturer to understand the impact this is having on students. So I would talk to the student rep, which you should have elected one at the beginning of the semester, and you'll have one. And so they have some power to, you know, obviously give feedback. I would also potentially email the course convener, so that, you know, every discipline will have a course convener. So I would actually go to them and say, hey, this is happening within the discipline. Can you please talk to the lecturer, because this isn't okay? And if that didn't work out, I would actually talk to AUSA and go to their advocacy. Their advocacy services, because they're really helpful and they know a lot, and they know how the university works, and they've held my hand, and I'm sure they'd hold your hand from a distance.
They'd bump your virtual elbow.
bump your virtual elbow through the process. But I definitely wouldn't let that slide, because I'm working from home at the moment, and I know how difficult it is. So that's really not okay. Yeah.
Hey, Justine, thank you so much. These questions have all come from our listeners, and I know that people will be really appreciating getting some feedback on them. If people want to send through questions for you for next week, they can do that by texting us on 5395, or you can call us on 309 3879, and we'll make sure that we talk about them this time next week. Thank you very much, Justine.
Thank you.
We'll talk to you next Monday.
See you guys.
Yeah, take that, the man.
Red Dead Redemption with Auckland Union representative Justine Sachs.